Well, let's take our Bibles this morning. I am going to preach a two-week series on Exodus chapter 3 and chapter 4 this morning. A couple other places from the book of Exodus, but prior to us getting into our missions convention, I didn't really want to split things up too much and wait several weeks to continue a series. So I'm just going to do a two-week series entitled, What's in Your Hand? What's in Your Hand? Responding to God's call. What's in your hand responding to God's call? Because I believe that God has a call upon every person's life. Every believer, every follower of Jesus Christ, he has a call upon your life. And I think you need to know how to respond to that call. So I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 3. And as we do so often, I'm going to play it for you because his voice is better than my voice and you'll listen to it more. So you follow along on the screen. We're going to listen to Exodus chapter 3 and the first few verses of Exodus chapter 4. And this is the story of Moses' call. So turn in your Bibles, follow along with us this morning, and let's talk about responding to God's call.
Chapter 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness, and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought,
I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up?
When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush,
Moses, Moses.
And Moses said,
Here I am.
Do not come any closer,
God said.
Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground.
Then he said,
I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.
At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said,
I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt.
But Moses said to God,
Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?
And God said,
I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain.
Moses said to God,
Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them?
God said to Moses,
I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you.
God also said to Moses,
Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Go. Assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. And I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. A land flowing with milk and honey. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go. And I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed toward this people, so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor and any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold, and for clothing, which you will put on your sons and daughters, and so you will plunder the Egyptians.
Chapter 4. Moses answered,
"What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?"
Then the Lord said to him,
"What is that in your hand?"
"A staff,"
he replied. The Lord said,
"Throw it on the ground."
Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him,
"Reach out your hand and take it by the tail."
So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand.
"This,"
said the Lord,
"is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you."
Then the Lord said,
"Put your hand inside your cloak."
So Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, the skin was leprous. It had become as white as snow.
"Now put it back into your cloak,"
he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said,
"If they do not believe you or pay attention to the first sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground."
Moses said to the Lord,
"Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue."
The Lord said to him,
"Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say."
But Moses said,
"Pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else."
Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said,
"What about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and he will be glad to see you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand, so you can perform the signs with it."
Then,
how many have been listening or reading through the Bible this year? Show me your hands. Come on, I want to know. How many have been reading the Bible, listening through this year? Praise God. I love to listen through the Word of God. I love to read through it. I have to wonder if God is going to have that deep of a voice when we get to heaven, though. I was listening through this a couple weeks ago. If you're following our Bible reading guide that we handed out, or one of them at least, you're somewhere in the book of Exodus at this point. And again, if you've fallen behind, don't get discouraged. Just keep going from where you're at, because you're getting the Word of God in you. I know we're coming into those parts of the Old Testament that aren't as exciting. They're not as filled with stories. When you're talking about some of the Levitical laws, when you get to Leviticus, Numbers, and all the genealogies there. But don't give up, all right? Don't give up. There's power in God's Word. I was listening through this a couple weeks ago, and I thought, that is the youngest 80-year-old Moses I've ever heard in my life. I don't know how they selected that voice for an 80-year-old Moses, but that's his age at this point. He was about 40 years old when he left Egypt on the run, and then he spent 40 years on the backside of the desert waiting, and God had a call on his life. And so we just read how he experienced that call, and we began to read how he responded to that call. You know, we think of Moses as being one of the biggest influencers we see in the Bible. We can't help but focus on the greatness of the victories under his leadership, his closeness with God. I mean, who else saw God face to face and their very face shone because of it? He was illuminated with the presence of God. We think of the God-given wisdom that he delivered to the people. The Torah, the law. But in so many ways, Moses was just an ordinary person like you and me. And while he was living on the backside of the desert, Moses received a call from God. And he responded to that call, and all the rest is history. But I believe God has a call for us today too. And it's just as big a call, it's just as powerful, it has just as much importance as God's call on Moses' life. Did you know God has a call on your life? You're sitting here in this place today, God has a call on your life. Now, we talked about it earlier in the book of Esther. We talked about the fact that we were created to fulfill the purposes of God. Remember that part in the book of Esther just a few weeks ago? We are created to fulfill the purposes of God. And I don't know why, but rather than just do things himself, and Glenn talked about this morning already, rather than just do things himself, God has chosen to use us to fulfill his purposes. He partners with us. He wants us to step out. He wants us to be a part of his work. Think about the book of Genesis and the creation story and Adam himself. I mean, God could have taken care of this whole earth by himself with no problem, right? Let's create it. I'll run it. But God didn't do that. God created Adam and Eve, and he put them in the garden, and he said, I have a job for you. I have a calling for your life. I want you to take care of things. This is yours. You're going to take care of it all. It belongs to you, and I'm going to be here with you, and I'm giving you the authority, but I want you to do it, right? Even in the naming of the animals, did you know that God brought the animals in front of Adam and asked Adam to name the animals? He did. Now, I don't know if we still use the same names that Adam gave them. But why didn't God just say, this is a cow. You shall call it cow. Right? Because God wants us to partner in his work. In his creation. The incarnation, I think, is the prime example of God wanting to use humanity to accomplish his work. He put on human flesh to show us that this isn't just about an almighty eternal being who is omnipotent and omnipowerful and all of these things. He wants us to be a part of his plan. And so he showed us. He took on human flesh and he said, here's a human doing the will of God. That's why Jesus could say, I have done everything that the Father told me to do. So how do we respond to the call of God? What is in your hand this morning? God asked that question to Moses, and we'll get to that portion of scripture again here in just a moment. But what is in your hand? How do you respond to the call of God? Let's go back to the book of Exodus and just highlight some of these things. Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, verse 1, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness. And he came to Horeb, the mountain of God, and there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. And Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush. God called to him within the bush. First, God creates this magnificent, unbelievable sight to get the attention of Moses. And when he had Moses' attention, then he called to him. God has given us so much. God wants to get your attention, folks. He wants to get your attention because he has a call to deliver to your life. But if we're out there just doing our own things, we're never going to hear that call. God wants to get a hold of you. Why? Because number one, God wants to use you. God wants to use you. How do I respond to the call of God? I've got to believe that God wants to use me. Put that next slide up, Taylor. God wants to use me. Do you believe that this morning? Yeah. That God wants to use you for his purposes, to fulfill his purposes? God gets Moses' attention, and I believe he's trying to get your attention today. And then he calls him, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Right here. I guess you're talking to me, Lord. There's nobody else around. I wish God could single us out today and we could hear as clear as Moses the call that God has on our life. He's talking to you. He's speaking to you. Day in and day out, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Sometimes it's when you open up that Word of God and you're reading through and the Holy Spirit says, that's you. That's for you. I'm talking about you right now. Yo, are you listening to me? Sometimes it's in a quiet time of prayer and we feel the Holy Spirit prompting us, telling us, this is what you need to do. He's trying to get a hold of you. Why? Because he wants to use you. Moses said, here I am. And God said, don't come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. I thought about that a lot. And I thought, you know, other than the fact that, yes, God is holy and when we come into his presence, but I thought too, he's calling Moses. And one of the things that happens to happen when we respond to the call of God is we have to kind of take off our purposes and put on God's purposes. Because here's something I've learned. You can't do both. You can't respond to the call of God and keep doing what you want to do. This call changed Moses' life. And maybe one of the reasons God said, take your shoes off, is like, I'm doing a change here. I'm getting ready to put different shoes on you. We know from the New Testament perspective that we are to be shod with the shoes of the gospel of peace. Maybe God was saying, I'm sending you as my messenger. You're not going to be a shepherd here on the backside of the desert anymore. I've got some new shoes for you to fill. Amen? Does God have some new shoes for you to fill today? His shoes, his purposes, his plans for your life. We keep going back and we keep putting on our shoes. The ones we're comfortable in. The ones we broke in. The ones that, you know, we don't mind wearing. How many have a hard time putting on a new pair of shoes and getting them broke in? Anybody anymore? They make them so comfortable anymore. Sometimes it's not hard. But, man, when you first put on, if you got a new pair of shoes, especially leather shoes, and you're trying to break them in, it takes a little while to get those in. It takes us a while to get broke into what God wants to do in our lives. But what we got to keep coming back to is this fact, that God wants to use you. Say this with me this morning. Say, God wants to use me. Now say it a little bit different. Say, God wants to use me. Do you believe it? God has a call for you. Then he said, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Now, I think sometimes God has to reintroduce himself to us. You know? That's why he did the burning bush. Because you can go through so much of your life not recognizing what God wants you to do. Right? It's like sometimes God just has to get a hold of us and shake us and say, hey, this is me. You know that God that you go and worship every Sunday? You know that God that you pray to? It's me. You recognize me? I'm that God that you was raising your hands and shouting the victory about on Sunday service. That's me. That God that you said doesn't change. I'm the same yesterday and today for him. Well, I'm standing right here in front of me. It's me. And Moses, when he heard that, Moses all of a sudden got afraid. Why are we afraid of the God whom we serve? It is an awesome thing to see God. Even in our day, come on. When we begin to recognize, God, you're talking directly to me. God, I'm just me. You take time to just one-on-one converse with me. And God does. Why? Because he wants to use you. God wants to use you. And the Lord said, I've indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. And I'm concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you. You catch that partnership there? And what Glenn was talking about earlier? I have come down. God says, I am concerned. I have come down to rescue them. Now go, I'm sending you. You're going to be my vessel. You're going to do this. This is my call on your life. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And that was the message. That was the first part of the call that Moses received in his life. And he had to get that into his spirit. That God, you want to use me? Yes, God wants to use you. God said, Moses. Why did God say it twice? Moses. Again, to get his attention. I'm talking to you. This isn't somebody else. No, I didn't get it wrong. Didn't dial up the wrong number. This is you I'm talking about. I think God needs to get your attention this morning. Maybe Moses thought he was unusable. Do you ever feel like you're unusable in the hands of God? I do all the time. Oh, there's no way you can use me. Maybe he thought he was unusable. Maybe he thought it was unusable because of his past. Right? So a young man, he tried to do it in his own strength, and he really messed it up, didn't he? Ended up killing a guy. Murdering a man. Fled his people. Left them behind in Egypt. Ran for his life. Maybe he thought he was unusable. He was an outcast. Go look at the names that he named his sons. Moses felt like, man, I'm a foreigner. I'm an outcast. A murderer, a failure. But what God was saying is, Moses, I'm talking to you. And I want to use you. I want to use you, who you are. Who I created you to be, the purposes that I made for you. I want you to answer this question this morning. I left a lot of room on your notes today because this is for you to respond. I want you to begin to ask, how does God want to use me? How does God want to use me? And maybe you've already had this conversation with God, and maybe this is going to something that God is going to begin speaking to you about in the days to come. But I really want you to begin to think about this. How does God want to use me? Because he does. And you've got to believe that. Number two, how do we respond to the call of God? Well, the Bible says that God spoke to Moses, and we read this already, but I want to do it one more time. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt, and I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them. In verse 16, he says, go assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and I have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. And I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites. So God says, I've got something for you. How do we respond to the call of God? We got to know that there is a great need all around us. Part of this call is God getting us to open our eyes to see the great need that is all around us. Do you know we still have millions of people who live in bondage all over this planet? Do you know there are hundreds of thousands of people that are in bondage right here in the city of Tucson? Your friends, your neighbors, your families who are living in misery because of sin. They're held in bondage because of addictions. They're held in bondage because of the lies of the enemy. Those people need to hear the voice of God. They need to know that God cares about them. They need to know that God loves them. They need to know that God has an answer for them. He has a better place of dwelling for them, that they don't have to stay in their bondage and in their slavery. They need people to come unto them and say, hey, God has been watching over you, and God hasn't forgotten about you, and God has a plan and a purpose for you, and it's not the misery that you're caught in right now. He's got a blessing for you, and he's got a good life for you. That's what God said to Moses. He said, go tell them. That's my call to you. Just go tell them that I've been watching over them, that I am concerned about them, and I want to bring them out of that because I have newness for them. I have a good life for them. He called it the land of milk and honey. Now, you can go tell that to people today and they'll think you're crazy, but let's put it in modern terms. God has good things for them. Amen? Forgiveness and love and hope and healing and restoration and wholeness for their lives. And you have been called to deliver that message. But you got to see the great need that is all around us. I don't know, maybe because Moses had been there for 40 years, maybe he had kind of forgotten about it. What it was like back in Egypt. What his family went through, what his friends, the people who were of his own nationality, what they had endured. Maybe it's like, well, I'm safe. I'm comfortable. You know, I'm doing good. I got a wife. I got children. I got a job meeting my needs. Sometimes we forget what it was like not to have God in our lives. And we got to respond to the call of God by seeing the great need that is all around us. John 4:35 says it this way. You have a saying, it's still 4 months until the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. What Jesus is saying is these people are around you. You know when he said these words? Anybody know when he said these words? Somebody shout it out to me if you know when Jesus said those words. What's the context of John chapter 4? Don't look it up. Just tell me if you know it. Does anybody know it? John chapter 4. What is the context of John chapter 4? Anybody in this place know it? What?
Send laborers.
It's talking to the woman at the well. talking to the woman at the well. Remember that story? John chapter 4. It's a story about hope and evangelism and the need that's out there. This was a lesson. This was not only a ministry to the woman, but it was a lesson to his disciples about what he wanted them to be doing. Because they come back and they see him talk to the woman, and remember they had gone to get food? And they come back and say, Jesus, you know, we got some food here. And he said, that's okay. I've already eaten. Actually, he said, I have food to eat that you know not of. What was filling him up at that moment? The fact that he had just had a conversation with a lost woman and been able to open her eyes to the truth of God's love for her life. That's what he was feasting on at that moment. And he said, I have food to eat. And then as he's going through, he says, don't you have this saying that there's 4 months until harvest? And he said, you're wrong. He said, the harvest is right here. If you just open up your eyes, you would have saw what I saw, that there are people like this woman, and it's not just this woman, but there are people all around you that are ready for the good news of the kingdom of God. But you got to get into the harvest field. You got to do something about it. You got to see that there's great need all around. So you begin fulfilling the purposes of God. There's great need all around us. Question, what needs can you see around you? I want you to write something down. I want you to begin and keep these notes and begin. We're going to talk about this next week too. I want you to keep filling this in. What needs can you see around you? It may be something simple. Now, I tell you all the time, there are needs all around this church. Just waiting for somebody to see it. I see it all the time because I'm here every day. Because I'm trying to do things. But there's needs all around this church. And yes, sometimes I'm talking about people. Sometimes I'm talking about ministries and just doing things for the church. I want to thank some people that have been coming down recently. Just doing things here at the church. Steve's not here this morning, Janice, but I think he's here? Okay. I want to thank him for coming down a couple days this week. And you guys may have been, Rachel, you may be here with him. I don't know who all was out there, but I know he's out here just sweeping up the parking lot, cleaning up things. Mike, I want to thank you for coming down last couple of weeks. He did a project, put a new instant water heater in our bathroom in the youth modular. Thank you for that. He spent a whole day putting a new microwave into the kitchen. Those things will bless you. You'll use them. But somebody had to do it. And somebody had to respond to a need and fill it. Sharon came down a couple weeks ago, spent all day vacuuming the foyer, vacuuming every chair in the sanctuary. She's got plans to help repair some of the chips in the windows and stuff because she saw a need. And so many others of you, but we just got to look around. There's great need all around us. We just got to do it. What needs can you see around you? Number 3. How do I respond to the call of God? You have something to offer. You have something to offer. I want you to begin to think about what's in your hand today. Say, well, you know, other people, they have time to come do that. No, not necessarily. They make time to come do that. Other people, they have talents to be able to do that. There's something in your hand. Because God has given all of us something. You're not empty-handed. God has created you. He has formed you. He has fashioned you. And from the very womb, he had purposes for your life. Brother George came down last week, tightened up tables. Glenn and Reba came down last week, finished up that job. Every single table that we have in here has been checked because bolts were falling out of them. We're trying to set them up and legs are falling off. And they came down and checked every single one, every bolt on every table, put them back together, made sure that they would last for another few years before we have to go out and buy new ones. See, there's something in your hand. Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say the Lord did not appear to you?" Then the Lord said to him, "What is in your hand?" "A staff." The Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake. And he ran from it. Either he was very smart or a very scared person. We were at the Desert Museum yesterday. We walk into the reptile thing. And this is the second time this has happened in my life. Once with my wife, now with my daughter. We walk into a reptile exhibit, and there is a person with a snake out, you know, not behind the glass, out. And Lindsay turned around and left that place as fast as she could. Happened to us in Colorado Springs years ago. We walked into a reptile thing. It was cold outside. It was warm and steamy on the inside. And both of our glasses fogged up immediately as we walked in. So we couldn't see right away that there was a lady who had a big boa constrictor out. We're like this close to it. As soon as Trina's glasses cleared off, let me tell you, she made a beeline out of that room. That's what Moses did. He ran from it. I think sometimes we would be surprised to know what's really in our hands. Some of you have so much talent. Some of you have so many gifts in your life. There's something I look at and I'm like, man, I wish I could be like them. So much to give. So much that God has poured into your life. And it's right there in your hand. And maybe you would be scared to know what's really in your hand. You think, I'm just common, I'm just normal. No, you're special. I love that VeggieTales line. Remember, God made you special, and he loves you very much. Every one of you are special. You got something in your hand. God made sure it was there. He gifted it to you. Your personality, your abilities, your talents. Your nature, God gave it to you. Take a new look at it. You have something to offer. So he runs from it, and then God says, watch this. God says, pick it up. Pick it up. See, God wants you to know that you have something to offer, and sometimes it's shocking. Sometimes he says, okay, put it down so you can see it, you can look at it, you can know it. Now do something with it. Go pick it up. It's more than just an ordinary staff that God has given you. Pick it up because you're going to use it. It's going to be vital in the ministry and the calling that I'm putting on your life. Pick it up. Begin to use it. I want you to write this thought down. Ordinary things become extraordinary when put into God's hands. And then he goes on and he tells him, he says, put your hand in your cloak. Now take it out. It's leprous. It was his hand. But in God's hand it was a sign. It was a tool. He said, by the way, when you go there, and if they don't believe those two signs are listening, you take some water from the Nile and pour it on dry ground, and the water you take from the river will become blood on the ground. So we keep reading. We know he did these very things. He showed them the signs that God gave to him as a confirmation of the call of God and what he was there to do. But all of them very ordinary things, a staff, his hand, water. But when placed into the hands of God, ordinary things become extraordinary. When you respond to the call of God, what you might think is ordinary becomes extraordinary. John 6 tells us that. Remember when Jesus fed the 5,000, John chapter 6, it records the fact that disciples were looking around, they didn't have anything to feed all these people with, and they found a little boy who had a lunch. Remember? Philip answered, it would take more than a half year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. And another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many? How far? You may look at what you have in your life and say, it's so small. It's not worth responding to the call of God. God says, no. If you'll put it in my hand, I will bless it. I will magnify it. I will take what is ordinary and I will make it extraordinary. And that's what God did with that lunch. Jesus broke it and he blessed it. So much so that 5,000 men plus women and children all had enough to eat. And then he told his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with pieces from the leftovers. Question, what tools do I have in my life that could be used for God? What tools do I have in my life that could be used for God? Number 4, real quickly here. Stop making excuses. Verse 10, chapter 4, verse 10 says, Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. Which is a contradiction to what the New Testament testifies about Moses, that he was powerful in speech. So either he was and God changed him, or he was just using this as an excuse. The Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. And then verse 13 says, but Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. So he's making all kinds of excuses. I can't go do this. I don't have time to do that. And did you know, I didn't read the next verse, but I would encourage you to read the next verse. Did you see what it said? Do you remember what it said? Remember what it said when he made the second excuse? What? God got mad. Mad, mad, mad. My wife knows what I'm referring to. God said the anger of the Lord burned against Moses. Moses is lucky he was still alive at that point. Okay? Just stop making excuses. End of story. God wouldn't call you if he didn't want you. He wants you. You're ready. You can be used. We'll fill in the blanks next week, but just stop making excuses. And I want you to answer that question. What excuses have I been making to God? God, I just don't have the time. God, do you know what that would cost me? God, you don't understand. If I'm going to do that, then I can't do this over here. God, I can't do that. I'm not qualified. Stop. And then number 5, I want to close with this thought this morning. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, what about your brother, Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and he will be glad to see you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help you. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. See, God's going to teach you. You have to be willing, but God's going to teach you. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take his staff. Take this staff in your hand so you can perform the signs with it. So God says, look, enough excuses. I just want to tell you this, that if we're going to respond to the call of God, we need to understand something. Each of us have different gifts. Your gift is not the same as my gift. My gift's not the same as somebody else's gift. Every one of us has different gifts. Sometimes I think we get too keyed in on the fact that, well, you know, we need more people to have the same gifts I do, or I need to have the same gifts that they do. No, God made us all with different gifts. And all of those gifts are important to the body of Christ. That's what makes it work. It doesn't work. It doesn't work if everybody's Moses. Doesn't. So don't get mad at other people when they don't share the same passions and giftings as you do. And don't turn them away from serving, because God needs them in the body of Christ too. Each of us has different gifts, but each of us has gifts. I encourage you to read, I put those verses on your notes. I encourage you to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I don't have time to share it this morning, but read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There he talks about the gifts, and he says, look, we need the hand, we need the feet, we need the mouth. You know, we got to have the head. We got to have all of the parts of the body. And one part of the body can't say to the other part of the body, I don't need you. We do. Because that's how the body works. Just as a body, though, has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each of you is part of it. Stand with me this morning. I know I'm closing abruptly, but the time's running away from us. And I want you to do something before you leave today. This is my altar call today. My last question for you. What gifts do I see in others? I want you to go find one person today. Before you leave, I want you to go find one person today. And I want you to tell them what gifts you see in their lives. Would you do that for me? Can that be our prayer, our closing prayer? Can we minister to one another? Go find one person and tell them, here is the gifts that I see in you. Thank you for this body, Lord. Thank you for your calling. May we respond to it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What's in your hand? Go find somebody today. One person. Come on, one person.